dome deployed, BP tries to contain the oil leak.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. A ship carrying a 100-ton concrete and steel dome is making its way through the Gulf of Mexico this morning. Later today, BP plans to drop the 40-foot dome over the leak site. It's currently spewing more than 200,000 gallons of oil into the Gulf every day. Meanwhile, a major oil industry gathering is going on in Houston, focusing on offshore drilling. Our own Rob Schmitz is there. He joins us live. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Stacey.
Rob, what are these people saying about how this spill will impact their industry?
Well, many here are pretty worried that this is going to lead to a more regulated industry. They think their industry is over-regulated as it is. And with more regulations, they say the cost of doing business will increase, leading to higher prices at the gas pump for consumers.
What kind of regulation are they worried about?
Well, I think most here agree it's going to lead to requirements for more safety measures on these offshore rigs. I had a chance to speak to a man named David Doig. He's the CEO of Opito, a company that sets global safety standards for the oil industry. And he told me that, he said he wondered why many countries don't require what's called an acoustic switch. Now, this is a safety device that some say may have prevented this spill. The U.S. doesn't require companies to install it, and consequently, it wasn't installed on the Deepwater Horizon rig. You know, Doig told me that only Norway and Brazil require oil companies to install these devices.
The question needs to be asked is, why only in two countries when we have a global industry where all the players are working across all the boundaries? You don't work in a local environment. You work globally as a global oil company.
This is a conference that happens every year. What is the mood at the conference this year?
Yeah, it's a conference that happens every year, and it's huge. There's 70,000 people here, as you mentioned. And, you know, with all those people, you think that some would want to talk to journalists, but many people here are really guarded when I ask them about this spill. Those who are involved in the disaster are most likely worried about potential liability, but even companies who didn't have a stake in this spill were pretty tight-lipped.
Rob Schmitz in Houston. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks.
Oil prices are down below $80 a barrel this morning. That on worries Europe's financial crisis could get worse and threaten the global recovery. The European Central Bank is meeting in Lisbon today to discuss stabilizing the European economy. That's helping to calm the markets this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.3%. Germany's DAX is up 0.7%. Paris's CAC 40 up 0.2%. Asian markets took a beating earlier today. Tokyo's Nikkei index fell 3.25%. The Shanghai Composite Index fell more than 4%. Yesterday, U.S. markets were down as well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 0.5% to close at 10,868. This has been a very bad week for Wall Street. In spite of that, though, there are signs the U.S. economy is coming back. Plans are underway to build a cargo warehouse at New York's JFK Airport, the first in nearly a decade. Jill Barshay has that story.
JFK handles more cargo than most airports in the world. So people like Paul Rosen have a front seat to the ebbs and flows of global trade. He's at A&B Property, the largest owner of cargo warehouses at the airport. He says when there's a lot of cargo, all the warehouse workers complain there's no place to park.
It quieted down a little bit during the recession. Now everybody's really happy that we're seeing more traffic. And really, you know, it's kind of funny because the same thing that they complained about, people are happy because that means that business is getting better.
Global trade is still down from its peak in 2007. But Brandon Freed says cargo volumes are starting to surge. He's the executive director of the Air Forwarders Association.
And we're going to need space. We're going to need space not only to handle the increased cargo, but also the demands for cargo screening.
On August 1st, all cargo has to be screened prior to boarding. Cargo handlers will need new buildings for that. But the ground won't be broken on the new JFK warehouse until September. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
Unemployment benefits are stretched to the limit across much of the country. More than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, have had to get money from the federal government to pay unemployment benefits out to people who've lost their jobs. Today, lawmakers are talking about how to fund the system long term. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
The Golden State leads the pack in borrowing for unemployment. H.D. Palmer is a spokesperson for the California Department of Finance. He says the tab was more than $7 billion last year. This year is worse.
We're going to have to more than double our borrowing from Washington to about $18.4 billion.
Unemployment insurance is paid to the state by employers. Palmer says California can't pay the bill on its own until more people are working. Andrew Stettner is with the National Employment Law Project. He says more jobs will help, but the real problem is that most states don't ask employers to kick in enough for unemployment insurance.
If an auto insurance company set its rates like it was insuring a fleet of Escorts, but they were really insuring a fleet of Cadillacs, they'd go out of business. That's kind of where we are at with state unemployment insurance financing.
Stettner's speaking to Congress today. He'll argue that states need to require that employers pay more. California spokesperson H.D. Palmer says, for a state nervous about losing more jobs, that's a hard sell. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, mommy blogs are erupting over a new kind of infant formula that comes in chocolate and vanilla, that according to the L.A. Times. Mead Johnson Nutrition recently introduced the flavored formula. Bloggers and nutritionists are worried the flavors will cause toddlers to crave sweets. But if you think about it, these kids are entering a world of guacamole bacon burgers, fried Snickers bars, and 1,000-calorie coffee drinks. It's probably good to start training early if you want to eat American. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.